all times. It's good to see everyone back this evening that have chose to come back. You know, worshiping Christ is a choice that we make. You know, God is not going to force any of us to worship Him. He leaves it up to us to choose to worship Him. But we know that choosing Him has great benefits, and not choosing Him have great consequences. So it's good to see all those back tonight who have chosen to choose Him. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, would you turn it with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and I promise this evening, I won't keep you too long. Everybody have their own definitions, but according to my definition, I'm not going to keep you too long. Just have a couple of things I want to say to you, something that I was looking at that caught my interest, and I thought I just wanted to share that with you and hope that it would help us all to do better when it comes down to worshiping God. Tonight I want to talk to us from this topic. Behold the Lamb, the Bridegroom coming. Behold the Bridegroom coming. And I want us to begin reading at Matthew chapter 25 at verse number 1. Matthew 25 at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. People understand how much it costs you to survive bad times. They understand that. People understand how strong you have to be to endure suffering and afflictions. They understand that. They understand how tough you have to be to survive diseases and sickness and turmoil and chaos and how much it takes out of you. But what I believe that they do not understand is that even when you are expecting something, when you are expecting something good to happen, that it also costs you something. It takes something out of you to expect some good thing to happen that is delayed or that doesn't happen. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12, the Bible had this to say. He said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When you anticipate something, when you are waiting for something, you put your all in it, and you are expecting it to come, and then it doesn't come. It wears on you. And if we're not careful, it can weigh us down. It costs us something to wait. If you keep waiting on something that keeps evading you, if you are not careful, it will wear you down. To keep waiting for something and anticipating something and it doesn't happen costs you more than someone who wants nothing. Because someone who wants nothing, who fall into this category, will fall into this category of thinking that if I want nothing, then I will not fail. If I'm not waiting on anything, if I'm not expecting anything, if I'm not desiring anything, then I'm not going to fall. You see, that's the category that many people find themselves in. Because most people don't want to put the effort in waiting. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians, a lot of us. We get complacent. We want things done now. You know, I can remember back when I first became a Christian, when I was first baptized, back there in Montebello, Alabama, Montebello Church of Christ. When I come up out of that water, I felt like I could take on the whole world. And there wasn't many Christians around in my little circle there. Brother Fantroy, who taught me. But I can remember thinking that, you know, if God came right now, I am ready. You know, I'm ready because I'm on fire for the Lord. But as time went on, you know, and other things came back into my life, you know, I found myself kind of slipping. You know, I found myself thinking, well, God is not coming. Christ is not going to come back anytime soon, you know. So I could feel my faith not being as strong as it was when I first was baptized. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. When we baptize someone, you know, they're on fire. And one of our mistakes is that we leave them alone. We leave them to fend for themselves. And not understanding the scripture, not well versed in the scriptures, other things start to pulling at them. And before you know it, their first love for Christ is beginning to slip away. Now, when we talk about these 10 virgins here, so many times we look at them as 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. But actually, when we look at it, Brother Rex, could you put Matthew 25 back up there for us? It said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You see here, all 10 of the virgins took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They all was expecting the bridegroom to come. They all was on fire about meeting the bridegroom. But then the next verse, and five of them wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But they that was wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. See, there is the difference right there. See, the difference between the five wise and the five foolish is not that one was foolish and one was wise, but that one wasn't concerned enough. One wasn't faithful enough to think about that the bridegroom may not come when I think he's going to come. He may not be here when I think that he's going to be here. See, so many times Christians want to put God on our timetable, on our time scale, and we fail to realize that God's time is not our time. That we can't tell God when he's going to come back. That we have to be ready whenever he comes back. You see, it was a custom back in those days, that weddings took place at night. And oftentimes they used 10 virgins. That the bridegroom would go out with his friends and stuff, and he would be gone for a big part of the night. But the bridegroom party, the virgins, would be there to meet him when he returned to escort him to the bride's house. And so what would happen is that they would have to have their lamps burning because it's dark, that when he come, they could see him. And if they had their lamps burning, and when he came, they could be there to go in with him to the wedding. But if they had no oil in their lamps, or their lamps were not burning, then they were left out. They couldn't go in to the wedding party. And so that's what happens to a lot of Christians. We think that we can estimate God's time. You know, on my job, my work time started at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. I leave home sometime at 6. You know, I get there 35, 40 minutes before time for me to be there, because I just don't like being late. And plus the fact, I'm thinking, you know, there's a train that goes across my way going down there. And there have been some time that train came across there and stopped. And I was almost late because that train had me held up. But see, that's the difference between me and Brian. Brian, one of those that think he can pinpoint down to the second. And I guess he's missed 100 of flights because he tried to pin it down to the second. And when he get there, you know, the gate is closed. He can't get on the plane. But that's what a lot of Christians do. We try to pinpoint everything instead of preparing ourselves for something that could possibly happen, something that could possibly take place. And in this case, with the 10 virgins, 5 of those didn't prepare themselves that the bridegroom just might tarry, that he just may be a little later than they were expecting. And so they thought, well, this should be enough oil. And they neglected to bring other oil just in case that what they had in their lamps wasn't enough. But those that were wise, they thought differently. They said, well, we don't know how long the bridegroom is going to be gone. We don't know if he'll be back before our lamps burn out of oil. So we'll take us some extra oil, just in case that we have to refill our lamps. Some people choose to say that, you know, this is the way it is. You know, that they don't really take the time to study the thing and to see what it is that they need to do. You know, some people don't understand that you just can't live in the moment, that you need to plan ahead for things. And so some people would say, you know, my daddy went to prison, his daddy went to prison, so I guess I had to go to prison too, because that's just the way things is. And they'll just wallow in that kind of mentality that tells them that I can't do better. I can't prepare for a better way out. But if we want to be prepared when the bridegroom returns, and you see, we think of him as Terry, that the bridegroom is Terry. He's not Terry. That's our way of thinking. The time has been set by God when he's going to return. But we're the ones who's trying to predict his arrival. I want you to know tonight that your oil and your lamp didn't just start burning. That once you obeyed the gospel, and once you became a child of God, you started burning your oil. And if you are not careful, if you do not have a watchful eye, your oil will burn out. Your lantern will burn out. And before you know it, we'll have empty seats in the building like tonight. Because those people are not preparing themselves for the return of the bridegroom. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. The Bible has this to say. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You see, it's been said about eagles that eagles are some of the longest living birds out there. And as the eagles age, you can still see them soaring around in the air because they renew their wings. Their old feathers fall out and they grow new feathers. So they are renewing their wings so that they can keep their flight going. And the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings like eagles. In other words, we should look at the eagles and learn and say, continually renew our spirit with God, renew our faith in God, keep ourselves renewed so that we don't fall into this situation where we become stagnated and where we become so lackluster that it doesn't really mean anything for us to miss worship service. That it doesn't really mean anything for us not to study our Bibles. Or that it doesn't mean anything for us not to keep advancing in our relationship with God. See, these are the results of not renewing our spirits. They should mount up their wings like eagles. They should run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. As we keep renewing ourselves, our energy, our love for Christ is renewed over and over again, and our respect for the Lord continues. You see, to me, when we neglect to come to worship service, when we neglect to study our Bibles, when we neglect to try and live the best life, best moral life, and spiritual life and good life that we possibly can, we're disrespecting God. Because we are failing to go to his word and study his word and learn what he would have for us to do in these situations. And so when we fail to learn these things, we can't do them. And when we don't do them, that's a disrespect to God. It's a flat out smack in his face. Because he took the time to come from heaven, a perfect place, to come down here to us. to bring us his word, to guide us and teach us and comfort us and instruct us and ultimately save us. And then we just treat it like it's some other book. Like it doesn't have any value to us at all. This ought to be our most prized treasure. This ought to be the thing that we regard the most in our lives, is the Word of God. But yet some of us treat the Word of God just like it another book, a fairy tale. You know, just some good author out there that had some pretty good stuff he wanted to write down. But this is the difference between heaven and hell. And yet we treat it like it really isn't important. In Psalms chapter 69 and verse number 3, the Bible has this to say. It says, I am weary of my cry. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Whatever it takes for us to continue our wait for God, for Christ's return, we ought to be about doing that. Because we cannot predict when he's going to return. But it is a certainty, a guarantee that Christ will return. And will we be ready? Will we have oil enough in our lamp that he can see us? The word wise and foolish here has nothing to do with those 10 virgins. It has to do with their attitude toward their preparation for the bridegroom. If you refuse to prepare for the bridegroom, not that you're foolish, but that you are doing a foolish thing. It's just like getting in your car and driving off to California without a spare tire in it. You're not planning on having a flat, but between here and California, you don't know what you're going to run over. It's about preparation. When God does things for us, he doesn't just give us enough. He give us more. He say he have blessing that our cup will run over. He wants to make sure that there's nothing left, that we have all that we need, that we're all sufficient. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 19. Bible says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Preparation is the key. We got to prepare ourselves for the long haul. We cannot know when Christ is coming. And let me share this with you. Sometimes we forget about death. When death occurs, that's like Christ has come for us. Because our fate is sealed in. If we die right, we'll be with the Lord. If we do not die right, we will not be with the Lord. So if we're somewhere doing our own thing, not giving regards to worshiping God the way that he wants us to, not participating in the worship service, not participating in the events that go on. This is Northwest right here. And all of us that are members here, we have committed ourselves to what goes on here. We're not committed to what goes on at Ferris Drive or some other congregation.
We are committed to what goes on here. We are obligated to Northwest and what we're doing here in Northwest. It shouldn't be that hard for Brother James to run down teachers for the classes. Shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard for our life groups to do his job. The elders shouldn't have to run after you week after week and week after week saying, I didn't see you last week. Christ wants to grow mature Christians. Christians who would take upon themselves, and that's the ultimate fact, that the ultimate truth lies within ourselves, that we got to be the sole responsibility for our soul salvation. The elders can't save you. They can encourage you in so many ways. But they cannot save your soul. When it all boils down, the chips are going to fall on your shoulders. Sometimes Christians act like, well, they didn't ask me. Nobody never asked me to come. Nobody ever asked me to do this. What about, here am I, send me. What about stepping up to the plate ourselves? What about showing God that I truly want to be a follower of you? I truly believe in what you have for me. Carelessness is going to be very detrimental to a lot of us. But in Matthew chapter 25 verse 6, he said the bridegroom coming. Bridegroom is coming. There's no doubt about it. And the thing about it, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom coming. And then he goes on to say that they that was ready went in. And then guess what? The door was shut. You remember that kind of terminology one other time? Back when the flood was happening. And how Noah had preached to the people for all those years, some 120, 25 years, that Christ was coming, that the flood was coming. To get ready. But how the people paid him no attention. And then it began to rain. And the flood came. But guess what? The door was shut. And they beat upon the door. And they could not get in. Because they didn't prepare. Same thing with these five virgins. That failed to bring extra oil. They beat upon the door. But the bridegroom said, I know you not. I know you not. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. See, tarrying is our part. That's how we think of it. But it's been appointed a time for Christ to return. And it surely will happen. Will we be ready? Will we be found faithful? Will we be found faithful? Luke 18 and verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Will you be one of those that carry extra oil with you, that you may keep your lamp burning? Or are you that time expert who know exactly when the Lord is going to return so that you won't waste any money or any time or any effort? You're going to plan that thing right down to the T. Are you that one that is going to roll that kind of dice? I would hope not. I would hope you're the one that's considered wise, that would fill your lamps with oil and then fill anything else you can find with oil to make sure that you're going to have the necessary oil that you need to be ready so that the bridegroom coming, he'll find you waiting and see you, and you get to go in. How have you treated your relationship with God? Does God look at your relationship and think that there's someone who's really putting forth an effort? Or have he looked at your relationship with him and just say, this person is just trying to get by? Just trying to get by. And you know, when you try to get by, you're going to fall short. You're going to fall short. There's no doubt about that. You're going to fall short trying to get by. It's better to have more than you need than to just try to cut it right there on the, you know, right there on the dime. So how's your relationship with God tonight? Are you preparing yourself? How do you prepare yourself? By doing what God asks you to do. By participating, by making yourself available for the work of the Lord. By participating, by stepping out there on your own. By being faithful, by being trustworthy, by being there for the service. By supporting your congregation. But there's always those that, no matter what you say to people, no matter how strongly you express it, no matter how clearly you express it, that's just their attitude. I ain't got to do all that. They're just going to do it that way. But I don't want to take that chance myself, and I would hope that you wouldn't want to take that chance. So if there's someone here tonight who needs to respond to God, that you've been a little lackluster in your effort in worshiping him to get it right tonight, or if you're not a child of God, to become a child of God tonight, that you can walk with God the way that he wants you to. If you have any need tonight, whether it's becoming a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being buried in that watery grave of baptism to become a child, whatever your need is tonight, we want you to make it known as together we stand and sing the invitation song. Be Lord, my light is by ground, be now.